I see the word surrender and submit as two different things, very similar but different. Submission, I believe, is an act of the will. It's something we make determination to do. Surrender, it is same, except surrender comes after a battle. And so we do battle with the Lord, and sometimes we have our excuses, Jeff's talking about, and many different things that come, and so we don't let God have it, and how we need to just let Him have it, let Him do it. Amen. I had the privilege many, many years ago to camp. We went to Camp Victory many years ago to be one of the two guys that took care of the horses. And we had a little two-year-old there. Name was General. And General had never been ridden, had been born on the campgrounds. His mother was one of the horses they rode all the time, beautiful horse. And that week, that horse taught me something. That week we decided we was going to train him how to be neck-reined and be able to ride him. And we start on Monday. By the way, on Thursday, I was out in the pasture at a full gallop. He was doing whatever I wanted. It was interesting how that took place, because we had just a little bit of time. We didn't crawl on his back and wait for him to buck us off. But we talked gently to him. We did things very gently with him. Lean on his back. Finally just sat up there, put a saddle on him, walk him around a little bit. And did all those things. And finally, put the foot in the stirrup and cross up onto his back. He never bucked. Never bucked. Within less than an hour, he was neck-reined. Not plow-reined. There's a difference. Plow-reined, you pull their head. Neck-reined, you put the rein up against the side of the neck and they go the other direction. And it was neat to watch as that horse, he didn't put up a fight, he didn't surrender, he submitted. Which one will you do? God's going to get you one way or the other. And I would, Jeff, you had a, I almost want to say, let's just have the invitation right now. Oh, amen. Chapter 33, the book of Ezekiel, please. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. What I'm about to say, in some ways, Jeff didn't know this, but in some ways it goes along with what he had to say. Thank you for that testimony. Chapter number 33, book of Ezekiel. Now I want to read, starting in verse 23, I want to read down to verse 33. You folks hear that? Did you hear that? What'd you hear? Pages turning. That's a beautiful sound. Let's look at what we've turned to. Verse number 23, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabited those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one and inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given us for inheritance. Wherefore say they, or say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? Ye stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, And they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we have the privilege to once again be able to read together the scripture. Lord, to be able to do something that most likely we'll get to do for all of eternity. As we can rehearse the marvelous word of God over and over again. As we can revel in its truth. As we can look at the prophecies and see their minuteness and detail and how you fulfilled. As we get to behold the promises and understand that not one of them was ever broke. How we thank you for this book. We pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God this morning, for without you, we are useless. Oh God, move upon our hearts. Bless, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Upon hearing that Jerusalem had been defeated, Ezekiel was left speechless. Go back with me, if you would, please, to verse number 21. It says, It came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, The city is smitten. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, afore he that was escaped came, and it opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. He hears of the situation of Jerusalem, and he is left speechless. And until the next morning, he was not able to speak, and finally great truth came forth. And the truth that came forth, as we already read, was that Israel had not listened to God through his prophets. His words are those to those who refuse to recognize the judgment of God upon their land. He is saying now these things to those who are in captivity, those who ought to have known judgment was there. They were in the midst of it. And they ought to know that judgment was upon them. But somehow, they do not believe what has happened is the judgment of God. Verse 24 says, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many, and the land is given for us an inheritance. They did not believe that they were in the midst of it because they thought, hey, we are a blessed people. God has given us this land. But the Lord, I believe, then helps them to understand that there is sin in the land. Verse 25 and 26 speak of that. The prophetic utterance now made is a further destruction to the people. And he tells them that it's going to come by the sword, verse 26. It's going to come by the beast of the field. It's going to come by horrible diseases. And we find that in verse 27. When all is desolate, and their fighting ability is all gone, they will finally know that God visited them in his wrath, Read with me again verse 28. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. He's telling me there's coming a day, and the land, or the people of the land, will finally realize and recognize that God had visited them. And yet to those who are listening in captivity, we find in verse number 30 that they are secretly talking against what Ezekiel has said. Did you notice what's said there? Verse 30 says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." They're talking against him, it tells us. They seem to enjoy his fluent and fluid manner of speaking, but they refuse to heed that which he's speaking of. Verse 31, "They come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them." Notice there's a colon explanation. "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." They come, they sit, they listen, but they shrug it off. Their words in public are for a show of love, while their heart, we find here, is said to be full of covetousness. Then verses 30, 32, I believe, become very instructive as the nature of many people. And we need to remember in this examination that these are the people of God, which means that we can make application to ourselves. Sometimes we come to the Word of God and what we see is not pretty. But also, when we walk in the morning and look in the mirror, what we see is not pretty. And we must be honest with ourselves. We must be honest with God. And so here we find him speaking to these people now, and we find that he is going to tell them some very, very practical things. One of the things we learn about these folks is they listened to the preacher, but they did not hear him. I remember many years ago, out on the hillside, Brother Al Wells' father, Dan Allen. Some of you might remember Dan Allen. Dan Allen had been a rough man. He'd gotten saved when he was about 40 years of age. Al told me, he says, the day that his father got saved, he said, I was looking for him. He says, I was going to kill him. And he says, I went to church, and he says, I got saved. I got up off my knees and looked around, and there was Dan Allen on his knees praying. He didn't know whether to be happy or glad because he wanted to kill him because of the way he'd been treating his mother. And old Dan Allen had been a rough man. He put, Brother Allen said, he put the Teamster Union into Denver with his fists. And yet God got a hold of his heart, and the old man had some marvelous wisdom. And I heard him on that mountainside one day say, if you see something, look at it. If you hear something, listen. And as I sat there and heard those words, and he said them over and over, that got into my mind, but it was very difficult for me to figure out what in the world he was trying to say. That's what's going on here in the book of Ezekiel. They were listening, but they were not hearing what he had to say. Perhaps their motive was curiosity. Perhaps it was gratification of the ear. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, talking about the end times, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." They want somebody like the master with the dog to scratch the ears to bring contentment. Oh, they heard him. They liked his prophecy. But there was no performance. They reveled in the outcome, but never practiced the interchanges. The book of James, he says it this way, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." These are those that could, as we put it in our own vernacular, could run off to conferences but lose its intention before returning home. They professed a love for God, but their feet did not match their mouth. I think of Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That verse is not teaching salvation by works, but it is teaching that those who are going to have feet that go in the right direction. So what was the problem? Oh, they liked the man, but they didn't hear him. They idolized him, and they ignored his message. All of my saved life, I have heard about the great men of God. And I've watched people as they've been enraptured by their many gifted talents. And God has certainly given some men some marvelous outcomes, some marvelous things in their lives. But somehow we seem to forget it's the great God of men. And here's the people, they're idolizing him. But at the same time, they come, they sit, and they listen, they hear him. And it says, "With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." They ignored the message. These are those who adored the preacher, but gave no attendance to the person of God. Thank God when people love their preacher, but without a love for God, something is greatly missing. And I believe that's what he's speaking about here. Their life was a show to cover their real selves. Did you notice here? They speak of loving God, but they're only for themselves. Perhaps that's why we have in our day and age people like Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers that are so popular. They talk about love for God, but it's really love for stuff that is what it's all about. The real rivalry to the love of God is idolatry. Now listen to what it tells us in Ephesians about idolatry. It says, "For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater." Did you catch that? Right there, a covetous man who is an idolater. What's he teaching us? He's teaching us when we love something besides God, it is what? Idolatry. What's covetousness? Anything we love that's more than God. Oftentimes we think of covetousness as we covet things that people have. We might even covet some of the relationships. But it is really, it's desirous of anything more than that of God. More than the love of truth. More than the love for the Word of God. You know, it's verse number 32. This is interesting. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." Oh, they love the music. They love the music. I'm so thankful this morning he took some time. He had no idea what I was going to speak on. And took some time of what God had done in his life and how that song portrayed it. But oftentimes what we do, we pick up the songbook and we see the words and we read the words and we sing the words, but it really has no meaning in our soul. They mean nothing. I knew a fellow many, many years ago. I was speaking to him one day, and he shocked the fire out of me. He says, I like to listen to Jimmy Swaggart. This guy did not go to church. As far as I know, he had no profession nor any belief even in the existence of God. And yet he says to me, I like Jimmy Swaggart. I says, why you like him? He says, I love his music. If you ever heard any, he had a pretty good musician. But that's not what it's all about. We have to understand these words mean something. You may wonder, why do we sing all the verses all the time? Why don't we just sing the first, second, last verse like happens so often? Because God had that person write third verse too. And there's something there for somebody. They have meaning. And what happens? Our life becomes a show. They went and they met together. They liked to listen to the preacher. They liked to hear what he had to say. They liked the music. And yet what do we find? They did not do it. They'll praise the voice, they'll praise the violin, but never the verse. How important it is for us to understand. And the only remedy for this whole situation is for judgment to fall. Did you know what happened this week? The city council in Portland are all upset and worried and wonder why the crime rate is up. There's no cure for stupid. They wonder why it's gone up so dramatically. And there's only one way that is going to do something in that city and across our land, and that is for judgment to fall. Then we can listen to an almighty holy God and understand that we are unholy, and then can fall before Him with repentance. We want revival in our nation, but understand something. Revival comes when we understand we have broken God's law. And if we ignore His message, He has a means to get our attention. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know what it says next? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They didn't want to listen to Him. So what happens? Judgment falls. Judgment comes. I say to God's people, it's time to turn from the media mob and allow allows the spread of fear of living and turn to the living God. Turn to Him. Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I mean, we're bombarded daily by all this stuff. Let's start listening to God. We say we love Him, we say this, we say that, but we do not do it so often. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Not deceiving our own selves. I'm glad today that I have a Bible. I'm glad today that I can depend upon every page, every word as being from God. You believe you got a perfect Bible? Yep. Don't you? What, you got an imperfect one? What, you got one that you can change to your whim? No, we got a book. It's been proven for 400 years. And thank God we can hold in our hands, but more importantly, we can open its pages. We can read the wonderful pages in the words of God and hear what he says and then do what he says. These said they loved God, but they didn't do this book. They said they loved God, but in the words of that song, they would not surrender to him. The battle rages. Are you going to give up and let God have it? That choice is all your own. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to gather here. Thank you, O God, for your word. These are hard-hitting verses of our day. Though written many centuries ago, you have preserved them for us, and the reality that is within them is so marvelous. I pray, O God, that you would work in hearts. We not walk from here being hearers only, but doers. We not be those who just say we love you, but really we don't show it. We're covetous. We love other things more than you. Oh God, work and bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.